You see a lot of the tops of people's heads these days because they're often bent over their cell phones reading something off the screen. That verb, reading, should give hope to anyone who worries about literacy declining, because maybe we're not reading as much on paper, but we're still reading a lot. The process of reading and creating works for reading is celebrated this coming weekend at the Ashland Book and Author Festival, coming up Saturday, October 3rd at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. We have two guests with us who are talking not just about that event, but also about the creation of something new called the Southern Oregon Literary Alliance. We have Midge Raymond from Ashland Creek Press. Welcome, Midge.
Thank you.
And we also have with us Todd Davies from Exterminating Angel Press. Welcome, Todd.
Hi.
Let's deal with that name first. I just love the name Exterminating Angel Press. Where'd that come from?
It's actually from a movie by a film director, Luis Buñuel. He was a surrealist film director. And in the film, a bunch of people are about to go out to the opera and they find they can't leave the house. There's no reason for it. So many things happen, cannibalism, adultery, you know, the usual.
Usual Buñuel stuff.
Yeah. And then the next morning they can leave the house as mysteriously as they couldn't leave the house. Everybody goes into the church to give Thanksgiving. No one can leave the church. And that's the end of the movie. So the motto at Exterminating Angel Press is, just go out the door.
Meaning that people should go read books or should go write books or both?
Or, I think books are a door. Definitely books are a door to a larger reality, which we all want to find, don't we?
How long ago since you created Exterminating Angel Press?
Well, Exterminating Angel was originally a film production company, so it's been going since 98. Mm-hmm. The press itself has been going on as an online press 2005, and then we began publishing books in 2009.
And what's the general goal of the kinds of material you'd like to publish?
We like to publish books that question dominant cultural stories. In other words, we like to open the door on a cultural discourse that seems to have gotten a little stuffy. And I have noticed that my fellows in SOLA, in the Southern Oregon Literary Alliance, feel the same way.
So let's talk a bit about the Alliance, but first talk to Midge Raymond about Ashland Creek Press, how long it's been around and what you do there.
We began in 2011, and we focus on environmental writing, environmental literature, and we publish anything under that genre. So we have an interesting mix of young adult, we have an eco-mystery, we have an eco-thriller, a couple literary novels, a short story collection so far. So anything that has to do with the environment and animal protection.
Is it just my imagination, or are there lots of more small publishers over time? I mean, we get inundated with books here at the Exchange, a number of which end up in our second hour generally. But it just seems like for all the talk we hear about the trouble that the major publishers are having, there's a lot more minors out there that seem to be popping up over time.
It's kind of like mayflies, you know? There's a lot of them. Then they're gone. So something like Ashland Creek Press, I mean, that is really stick-to-itability, you know, because it really has to be a labor of love. You're not going to get rich or famous, which is very hard for authors to understand. I hope you guys are all listening out there. It really is about getting out ideas that you really believe in and that you want to add to the conversation. Obviously, the means of production are a lot easier now. So it's easier for people to start a press. Distribution is still really, really difficult, though.
Really? Even with the internet and the ability to put pages and say, buy here, that kind of thing?
The traditional book world doesn't rely on the internet. It relies on a distribution system that's very arcane, that goes back to the Depression. It's very, very difficult. You don't even want to hear about this.
This is not something you want to hear about.
Mention this is how Southern Oregon Literary Alliance started, was that a bunch of us would start getting together for happy hour, and we would drink to end our sorrows about the distribution question and try and trade anecdotes and trade insights into how we could get around it. We're still doing that, aren't we?
We still are. Yep. Absolutely.
So, all right, we need to talk about the Alliance. I do want to talk about the event itself as well, the Book and Author Festival coming up this weekend. So this is the fourth now. So you got the Grand Slam going. You reached your fourth birthday at this festival.
Have you been to all of them, Mitch?
We have been to two of them. Not all of them. I'm looking forward to getting back.
Yeah, no, we were at the first one. This is Festival 2.0, mm-hmm. I think.
Recreation?
There's a brand new spirit at the library, at Hannon Library, which I've got to say is quite exciting. There seems to be a brand new spirit at SOU.
That is the setting for the festival. It's SOU, and it is the Hannon Library at the Southern Oregon University.
Yeah, and this is the first time I think that the festival is actually happening while there are students on campus, which is wonderful. We're really looking forward to that.
And what are the major functions of the festival then? What are some of the real tentpole sorts of events that are going on?
Well, we are going to be introducing the Southern Oregon Literary Alliance, Midges.
And yes.
And Midge and Ed Battistella and Molly Tinsley of Fuse Publishing are going to introduce it for 20 minutes at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Right. Yep. I can't be there because I will be doing a little interactive thing called The Importance of Story in another room of the same building. And then there are going to be events through the day, different people talking, and we're going to do a publishing panel at 2, I think. I don't remember what time.
Yep, I believe you're right.
Yep. Everything you ever wanted to know about publishing but were afraid to ask, so ask.
Right. This is all going on 10 to 4 on Saturday, October 3rd at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. Midge Raymond from Ashland Creek Press and Todd Davies from Exterminating Angel Press are here with us on The Exchange. Your questions and comments are welcome about the fate of the publishing industry or not, whether you still read books, whether you read them electronically. Let's hear your story, too. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So the Southern Oregon Literary Alliance formed from who precisely? Just the folks heading small publishing houses like yourself, or was it broader than that?
It was a bunch of us who were really interested in literature and especially interested, I think, you know, it's interesting. One of us writes for Southern Oregon Wine. I can't remember. She's MJ Despeat. She's a wine expert and she writes wonderfully. She writes mysteries as well, but she writes wonderfully about wine. And I was reading some things that she wrote last night, and what she's writing about the vintners here is exactly what we're doing too, which is we are exploiting our terroir. We're exploiting the resources that we've got here, the voices that we've got here, which are specifically Southern Oregon, but we're doing it with an international palette. Exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. I think all of us believe, as we were having our drinks at happy hour, some of us don't drink, but they're very nice to those of us who do. We were talking a lot about how it really is important to bring as many voices into the conversation as possible right now. So we're a wildly diverse group, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. We have publishers, and all of us, I believe, are authors. And Ed Battistella is a professor, of course, as well as an author.
And has been a guest here on The Exchange, too.
Yes.
We had him on a couple of years ago to talk about his book about being sorry.
Oh, it's a wonderful book.
He's going to be giving away a copy of that, raffling it away, in fact, for the person who can come up with the best apology.
Oh, this is fun. Okay. We'll have to have Ed back on sometime soon to talk about apologies and all that stuff. So I mean, the drinks aside, I mean, this is a happy hour spurred event, but it sounds like even after the sun came up the next day, there was still a determination to continue with the Southern Oregon Literary Alliance. So what are some of the goals you've laid out for the road ahead?
Well, right now we're really interested in just raising awareness about who we are and seeking feedback from the community as well to discover, you know, what local readers and writers want to see in the community in terms of events and programs. And we just want to really foster all the creativity that's here in the Rogue Valley and bring people together. So while we're just starting out, we want it to be very interactive in terms of what we do and how we present ourselves to the community and how we involve the community.
Is there an unusual concentration of people who are interested in literary things in Southern Oregon?
I believe so.
For its size?
Yes, we have a lot of book clubs. We have a lot of writers. I think this is a city of readers as well.
We have two fantastic libraries,
you know, a lot of bookstores for a town of this size, independent bookstores. It's just a wonderful community. And I think it's a good time to be organized, to get organized and see what people want.
So when you were talking about the terroir, Todd, about the stuff that specifically comes from the soil here into the wine grapes, in the case of wine, but so what is there that makes a Southern Oregon voice, if there can be such a thing?
Well, I think there's definitely a Western voice, and I think the Western voice really needs to come into the conversation more. It's far more feminist, actually, than many, many voices. It's very inclusive. It's very experimental. It's very informal. That always strikes people on the East Coast. I have a friend that says we wear yoga pants out here more than they do in the East Coast, which I think is kind of a good metaphor for it. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's yoga pants writing, I think. And doing things by the seat of your yoga pants, too. We are less structured, and I think that we are really a lot less weighed down by the traditions that have built up, which are really quite stultifying in publishing.
And I think that's why there are so many small presses cropping up as well, just because of all the tremendous changes in the traditional publishing world. There are more opportunities, but also more of a necessity for writers to find small presses to get their work out into the world.
So these are, again, people that, as Todd said, are trying to get ideas out there, not trying to be rich or famous, because that apparently doesn't happen much for authors. So give us an example of other works besides, we were talking about Ed's. Ed did get a major publisher, Ed Battistella, but some of the other things that either one of you might have published through your own houses.
Well, we are about to see a major publisher publish a first novel.
Yes, that's true.
By Midge Raymond.
My novel is coming out next summer from Scribner. So I'm very excited to have that experience. I am published, my first book came out with a university press, which then closed, and then it was republished by a small press. So I'm really excited to have the big five traditional publishing experience, and it's great so far. And I think it's great to have all this range of experiences, because as a publisher, I can definitely get it when the author has questions, when the author has issues, when the author has, you know, any sort of, you know, question going on. And I know what they need as well. So that's very helpful. But what was the original question before we started talking about this?
Well, really, I think what he wants to know is, are you going to bring back as much information as we hope?
Absolutely.
That you're going to? Yeah, no, thanks.
No, it was about local authors, and you are one of those. So, mm-hmm. So what's the name of your novel?
It's called My Last Continent.
Mm-hmm.
It's set in Antarctica and a few other places as well. And it's a very environmental novel, actually. It's about, you know, warming, changing planet.
Can you get a book published by a major publisher, as you are with Scribner, and keep a foot still in the independent world and not get, I don't know, mocked or shunned or something by the people in the independent world who think you've sold out and gone big time or something?
Oh, I certainly hope so. I certainly hope everything that I learned from this experience can enhance what we do at the press. And I know I have thought about that, actually, because it is, you know, I could have easily published this novel with Ashland Creek Press straight away. It's an environmental novel. It's in line with what we do. But I also wanted to give it a try and see. As a small press, you know, we know that we don't find as big an audience for our authors as a big five can possibly do. And it doesn't always work that way. Many authors publish with a big house and still never find their audience for various reasons. So who knows what's going to happen? We never know.
And there's more of them. There's more of them every day than it's happening to, in fact.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with all the changes. Editors move, books get left behind, and it's all too common for authors to never find their readers that way.
So as you try to push the boundaries of getting more people into the Southern Oregon Literary Alliance, getting more people enthused about books that come from the region, where do you focus geographically? Because, I mean, you're certainly starting with an Ashland focus, but Ashland is a town of, what, 22,000 people? So you're somewhat limited in your ultimate audience and your list of creators and contributors there. So how do you begin to expand the boundaries?
Oh, we don't only accept contributions from local authors. I mean, Exterminating Angel Press has international distribution and has since 2009 and has had authors. I mean, I work with people in Canada. I work with people in England.
Okay, at the press, I understand. But I'm talking about for the Literary Alliance. I mean, how do you expand the boundaries of who you're taking in there and just make it bigger, make it better? Or is bigger necessarily making it better?
Well, I think that one of the things we're all agreed on is that permanent growth is not necessarily a good thing. It's kind of good to think about what your limits are and curate that. So I think we're at the stage where we're curating that. What do you think?
Well, and I also think that we can expand beyond the Rogue Valley. I mean, we're about the Rogue Valley, but I think we can also do a lot with the Portland writing scene and, you know, all of Oregon as well as Northern California and just bring people together. That's what it's about, you know, bringing readers and writers together. And we're online. Visit us on Twitter, Sola Lit. Visit us on Facebook.
Southern Oregon Literary
Come
Alliance.
Find us and see what we're up to. And most important, let us know what you want to see if you're in this region and want to, you know, see more events and programs.
And I think we really think of ourselves as a Cascadian group, you know, Northern California all the way up to Canada.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so right along the backbone of the Cascades.
The wood-burning area.
The Southern Oregon Literary Alliance is part of the discussion here. We're also talking about the Book and Author Festival coming to the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University in Ashland on Saturday, 10 to 4. Todd Davies is with Exterminating Angel Press, Midge Raymond with Ashland Creek Press. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's talk about books. Let's talk about authors. Let's talk about the things that inspire you between the pages of a book, or if you even read paper books anymore. 800-838-3760 throughout the region by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So in talking about distribution, and Todd, you started this. I want to make sure we finish it before we go away here. What is it about the distribution channels that make it so difficult to get decent works of literature out to a broader audience?
Well, I don't know if this is a kind of technical thing, but there's a thing called returns. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Which is bookstores get the books for free shipping. They could pay for them, and then they can return them anytime, like up to for years later, at which point the publisher pays the shipping back, has to pay them back. But what also happens is because they have these algorithms now, and the computers say so quickly, oh, the book's not selling, send it back. And then someone comes in the next day and says, do you have this book? Then we have to ship it back to them. That has actually happened to me with popular books. Sometimes you lose money on a popular book because they'll ship it back because they didn't sell it on a certain day. And then people will come in the next day and say, I want 5 copies, and you'll ship it back to them. And you just, if you're a small press, it's incredibly difficult to deal with.
So all the money is spent in shipping books back and forth.
It's ridiculous. And in warehousing, I mean, it's ridiculous. That's one of the hopes that electronic media, that digital is actually going to help us. It actually does help small presses much more. And Amazon, I've got to say, while Amazon is really a problem for bookstores, and we are big bookstore supporters, the one thing about Amazon is they don't do returns. Once you've sold to Amazon, you've sold to Amazon. So we have to find some way around that. And no one's found a way yet. I mean, we are endlessly on the phone with each other about this, but that's the reality. That happened during the Depression, that we gave the bookstores the right to do that.
Oh, the Great Depression, not the more recent one.
Not the more recent one.
All right. So with the electronic distribution, though, I mean, is everything that comes out, I mean, I notice with the major publishers, it seems like everything comes out in print form, electronic form, and usually an audiobook about the same time, don't they? As smaller publishers, are you expected to do the same thing? Can you do the same thing?
Well, we have a lot more flexibility. In my press, everything comes out electronically, simultaneously with print, not necessarily audio, though. And which is good for me because a lot of the books that I publish also have to do with comic books, and it's too expensive to print them in color in the actual print books. But in electronic, it's very easy to do them in color. So buffs get both, usually. One of the things that we've been trying to figure out for years, I think, is how to get somebody to get a free ebook when they buy the print book, because it seems ridiculous that you should have to pay twice. They're two different platforms, but it's one content. But nobody's been able to figure that one out technically yet.
All right, we have an email here for you from Mike in Medford. He says, he asks, what do you recommend for editing on a budget? I've written for years but never have funds to have a professional edit, so my writing just sits. Excellent question. So who should he be going to?
He should be joining a writer's group. They'll edit for him.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, really, you need to join with people of like mind and try and find someone who has those skills and trade for your skills.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Find a trade because, you know, a writer's group is wonderful, but then the professional copy editing that it sounds like he's looking for is expensive and it's hard to find. So, yeah, make friends in the writing world and then see what you can do to trade. And
marry an English teacher.
There you go.
Who does the copy editing stuff? Is it the kind of thing that you can find anybody doing, or is it something that it sticks with the major publishing houses, or what?
There are freelancers all over the place. There is, I can't remember the name, Editorial Freelance Association, I think is EFN, I believe. Mike is going to be a good resource for you. There are all kinds of freelancers out there. What I always recommend to writers is to find, because I used to do a lot of freelancing, is have an editor look over 5 or 10 pages and give you a free sample copy edit. It's a lot of work for the editor, but if they're serious about finding a job with you, they'll do it. And so you can feel each other out a little bit because editing is a very personal thing. It's a very intimate relationship, I think. And every writer, especially an independent writer who's looking for an independent copy editor, needs to have a glimpse of what that process is going to be like, because it's going to cost them probably hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And it's going to go on for a few months at least. And it's their baby. It's their work.
And you need to find somebody also who's going to really understand your voice.
Exactly.
So it really is like a special relationship. It's not just you can just take any copy editor.
Oh, because they might say, I like to have things this way, but you got to find somebody who's in tune with what you're attempting to do.
Well, I can give you an example. The book that I have that's coming out in November, The Lizard Princess, I work with a copy editor in Canada all the time, and he's wonderful because the reason he's wonderful is he is very literary, and he understands that I'm working on a literary level. And I sent the book out to one potential copy editor just to see if there would be a difference. And the copy edit came back and it said on the fourth line, I don't understand this line because it seems to imply that the character is more than human, is different than human. And I'm like, well, it's called The Lizard Princess. So that's when I realized that she wasn't the editor for me.
So will there be a number of sessions at the Book and Author Festival on Saturday that do help not just people who are trying to get their hands on books to read, but also people who are trying to get their work into print someplace? I mean, it sounds like you guys have a wealth of information available, and if it's not there, then certainly through the Literary Alliance, perhaps, I would think.
We're all incredibly interactive. You can call or any of us and ask us a question. In fact, Mike, come to the book fair and come ask me, and I'll direct you toward a couple of copy editors and tell you about how much money you could expect to pay them. And then come to the publishing panel and ask questions.
So, I mean, let's get a state of the books feel from both of you. I mean, obviously people still read a lot. They're always looking at their devices, whether they're, playing Angry Birds or reading texts. I mean, we're reading a lot. It just doesn't seem like we're doing much in the way of books. So, I mean, is there a bright future for books but not reading? Is there a bright future for reading but not books? Or is everybody going to be fine? Midge, I'll look at you first.
I think the books are never going to go away. I don't think readers are going to go away. And actually, I was just reading about the digital quote-unquote crisis that everyone was worried about, and digital sales have kind of plateaued. So print books are around to stay. And even, I've talked to Ed Battistella's publishing class a couple of times when he's invited me there. And I always ask the students, this is the next generation, what do you read? Do you read print? Do you read digital? And they read print overwhelmingly. So that's interesting. So I think print books are here to stay. I do wish there were more readers. I feel as though our attention is being drawn in many different directions, and that makes it hard for authors and booksellers. But I think they're here to stay.
All right. A chance to celebrate books and authors at the Book and Author Festival. That'll be Saturday, 10 to 4. That's October 3rd at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. How can people contact the Southern Oregon Literary Alliance? You said you got Twitter and Facebook pages already. Website, too?
We have a website. It's SouthernOregonLiterary.org. And we have a contact form for anyone who has questions. And also, you can join our mailing list. We're going to send out periodic mailings about events that we're doing, which we hope to be free and open to everybody.
Okay. Midge Raymond is with Ashland Creek Press. Todd Davies is with Exterminating Angel Press. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.